This morning, I want to invite you to go along fishing with me. Actually, not with me, but with the one who made the sea, God himself. Our focus will be on only four verses in Matthew 13 called the Parable of the Dragnet, verses 47 to 50. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In the Sea of Galilee, there was probably three main ways to go fishing. The first was simply with a hook and line. And that probably was the method that Peter used when Jesus told him in Matthew 17 to go to the sea and cast a hook in, and he would get a fish, and the fish would have money in its mouth. The second way was a one-man casting net. And that was probably what Peter and Andrew were using in Matthew 4 when Jesus called them. The net was carried over the shoulder. The fisherman, he would look for a school of fish. He would cast out the net. The net would open in a large circle, and then he would pull the string, and it would close over the fish. The third way is the way that's used in this parable. It's called a dragnet. The net was operated by a team of many people. The bottom of the net had lead weights on. The top of the net had wooden floats on. This net, sometimes it stretched out over a half mile. And this is how it was cast. One end of the net was fastened to the shore. Now let's pretend the area in front of me is the Sea of Galilee. And pretend the shore is Orchard Road behind me. The net's one end would be fastened around this area. And then the boat would go along the shore towards Pigeon Hill Road. All the time, it's letting out net, and the bottom of the net would sink to the bottom of the sea, and the top of the net would float. And then from Pigeon Hill Road, the boat would head to where the parking lot ends. All the time, letting down net. And then from the end of the parking lot, the boat would head like 50 yards down, past the cemetery, all the time letting out net. And then the boat would come back to the starting point. Now, both ends are at shore. Right here. The net is spread out in the lake in a giant circle, reaching from the top of the lake to the bottom of the lake. And the men pull on both ends. The net moves in, dragging the bottom, but reaching to the top. And the team pulls some more. The circle, and for the fish, it's actually a circle of doom, gets smaller. They keep pulling. It moves in a couple more feet. They keep pulling and pulling. And finally, the net's just 30 yards from shore. It is full of fish. And they heave and they pull the fish up to the shore. And then hired men would separate the eatable fish and gather them and then throw the others away. Jesus said, "This is how God fishes." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessel, but cast the bad away. God is the one who has cast the net. The sea is the entire world. The variety of fishes are the saved and the unsaved. The angels are the ones who separate the wicked from the just and cast the unjust into fire. This net, this giant circle of doom, there are four aspects that each of us should be acquainted with. Four aspects to the circle of doom. The first aspect of the circle of doom is it's from above and unseen. I want you to picture that net in the Sea of Galilee. That circle spread out over half a mile. See the fish swimming in the circle. Sardines were common in the Sea of Galilee. So were tilapia. There were turtles. There were catfish. Can you see them all just swimming around? Unaware. Unaware that from above, judgment had begun. Unaware that the fisherman from his realm had cast his hand down into their realm. Unaware. It was unseen. Most of the fish were unaware of the reality of the net. Yes, it was there. Yes, it was real. But this reality was unseen by them. To them, it was just an ordinary day, even though from above had been cast a circle of doom. Unseen, unaware, but very real. Unseen by man, God has let down his net. Each of us is inside this circle. To some of you, it will be a circle of doom. To some of you, it will draw you into the presence of our Savior. Many of you are unaware that this net has been let down. You have plans for tomorrow. You have plans for next year. You dream of what's going to happen 10 years from now. Yet the net is there, unseen from above. And even though you are unaware of it, that does not make the reality of it any less. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Judgment is certain. It is more real than the wood of this pulpit. It has already begun. God has from above, unseen, begun to draw you to the other shore, slowly, slowly. And even now, he is pulling. Noah preached for over 100 years about judgment coming. Yet most were unaware about what was going to happen. In 2 Peter 3, it says, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The net is spread. You have chosen to ignore it. Yet, you are unaware of its presence. Yet, it is real. It is imminent. The second aspect of the circle of doom is it gets tighter and tighter and tighter as time passes. When that net was first spread, it was a quarter mile in diameter. But slowly the net was pulled by the fishermen to the shore. The circle became smaller and smaller. Probably most of the fish did not even notice their dire circumstances. Possibly some of them brushed against the net from time to time. But for the most part, it was life as usual. The fat catfish continued to feed on the bottom. The sardines continued to act like your typical sardine. The turtles continued to float on the top and dive to the bottom. All things continued as they were. All things continue as they were, or so they thought. Yet each minute they had less space. Each minute brought them closer to the other shore. Each minute brought them closer to the hired men who would separate the good from the bad. My people, our circle today is smaller than it was yesterday. Yet we go on eating and drinking, playing and pleasure, acting like people act, unaware the net is getting tighter and tighter. Sure, some of you have brushed against the net. Some have had accidents where they were almost cast to the other shore. Some have had close calls where they could have been cast to the other shore. Some have had sicknesses, brushes with the reality of the net. But for the most part, you go on in this circle of doom as if the net was not there. But it is, and it is getting smaller by the day. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 17. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time, there is for every purpose and for every work. Jeremiah 8, verse 7. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed time. And the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. We don't realize how close to the shore we are in the net. We are like a man in a canoe floating down a river, looking down at his reflection in the window, in the water, combing his hair as he looks down, fixing his shirt collar, unaware that he is moving, because as he's moving in that canoe, he's looking down. Yet if he looked towards the shore, he could see that he is moving. He could see the speed of his descent. He could see the waterfalls ahead. Brothers and sisters, let's look to the shore. Judgment is coming. The net is tighter. The shore is nearer than you thought. Job described it this way. Job 14, 17. My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquities. We are sealed in with our sins. There is no escape from the net. You see, in God's net, there are no holes. There are no rotten cords. There are no shredded ropes. There is no escape. We are sealed in this circle of doom. And to pretend that this net will not close for 50 years is folly. To say, well, God's not going to pull hard. Surely God will allow me to have a long life. Surely God will grant me time to buy a house. Surely God will grant me time to have children or grandchildren. How foolish. For many, the net has been 1 inch of the shore, yet that poor soul thought he had a quarter mile of safety. One accident, one careless moment, the inch is completed. He or she is cast into the shore, into the hands of God's judgment. Hebrews 9:27. As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. The third aspect of the circle of doom is it propels to a different environment. I want you to think of this. One moment, the sardines, the tilapia, the turtles, and the catfish, they were all swimming along, unconcerned, unbothered, free. The next minute, they were flopping on the other shore as the sun beat down on them. Can you imagine what they suffered? Their past environment was darker and murkier. Their past environment was completely surrounded by H2O. In an instant, the shore that they were ejected to, it was a completely different environment. In an instant, they faced the light of the sun instead of darkness. Instead of water, they were surrounded by oxygen. Instead of swimming, they were flopping. Their days of choice were gone. No longer could they choose to swim to the top, swim to the bottom, hide in the seaweed. No. Now they were beached on the shore as the glory of the sun beat down on them. Now, no choice. Now they were in the hands of the netmaster. Now he made the decision about what will become of that. You are in the circle of doom. now. But someday soon, you will be on the shore. You will be in a different environment. You too will face the sun beating down on you. You will face the glory of the Son of God. Psalms 37:6, "And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." The shore is God's throne of judgment. Psalms 89:14, "Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne." You chose in this environment where you are now to avoid the Son of God. You chose to resent Him, to refuse Him, to ignore His call. You were unconcerned, unbothered, free, but now your days of choice are over. The net master now makes the decisions about you. Can you imagine what that will feel like? Imagine one who walks in darkness. Imagine one who willfully sins. Imagine one who feeds on his base lust. Imagine one who walks in darkness. But in a moment, they are on the other shore, and the brilliant light of the Son of God shines down on them. They try to hide, but they have nowhere to hide. The light exposes all their sin. Did you ever shine a flashlight in a dark, vacant house or a vacant barn? Why do the roaches scamper away? Why do the rats and the mice scamper away? Why do they try to hide? Because they are creatures of the dark and they hate the light. Only creatures of the light enjoy the light. When you are cast on the other shore, if you have light inside you, if the light of Christ is in you, you will enjoy the light of the Son of God. But if you are darkness, you will have no place to hide. John 3:19. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Every person, and there's no exception, every person alive is drawn by the Father. Now, the first time the Father draws him or her to accept Christ, John 6:44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." You felt the ropes pulling in your spirit. Pulling hard for you to accept Christ, didn't you? He drew you to accept His salvation. He drew you to repent of your sins, to give up your lusts. You felt it. But every man is also drawn a second time by the Father. Drawn to the other shore. Drawn to judgment. Drawn to condemnation. The simple fact is, if you resist His drawing you the first time, He will resist you the second time He draws you. Those caught in the net who are the children of darkness will face the wrath of the Son of God. Hebrews 9:27, "As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment." The last aspect of the circle of doom. We saw it come from above and unseen. We saw it becomes tighter and tighter as time passes. We saw that it propels to a different environment. The last aspect, it reveals a person's true worth. I want you to try to picture that huge pile of fish drew to the shore, cast up onto the shore of Galilee. Now see the hired men. Can you picture them getting to work? See them put the sardines and the tilapia in the boat. Verse 48, it says, "Gathered them into the vessel." You see, they had worth. They could be used by the net master. They brought glory to the net master. They had worth. But I want you to see what they did with the catfish. They flung the catfish to the side to rot. Can you see the expressions of disgust on the faces of the hired men? See their dismay as they pick up the catfish and fling it to the side. You see, catfish were considered unclean by Leviticus 11:11 because they had no scales. They fed on the bottom, away from the light. They had no scales. And now the net brought these unclean fish off the bottom, up to the light of the sun, and there is separation. The catfish have no worth. No worth to the net master. The hired men cast them aside. See the crew sorting. Catfish, catfish, pitch to the left. Trash, tilapia, sardines, gather to the right and put into the vessel. Catfish, catfish, pitch to the left. Trash, sardines, gather to the right. Treasure. You see, there are two categories that were drew to the shore. It was either treasure or trash. Treasure or trash. And it all depended on their worth to the net master. What is your worth to God when you reach the other shore? You will be either treasure or trash. One or the other, depending on the glory you are to Him. I remember I was fishing for trout one time, and I got this pretty nice fish, and I brought it in to the shore. And here it was, a carp. Pretty nice carp. And I took that carp, and I just flung it over my back into the brush. You see, it had no worth to me. Bringing a carp home, there's no glory in it. I didn't care about it. And I could hear it flopping around. I was disgusted at it. I had no feelings towards it. It had no value to me. What will your value be to Christ? You see, unless you are in Christ, you will have no worth. It is Christ that makes the difference. His life in us makes us valuable to the Father. His life atones for our depravity. His life is the means that the debt is paid. Praise the Lord. When God sees the blood of Christ, He will gather you unto Him. It's all about the blood, the life-giving blood. When you are cast on the shore, when the light of the sun exposes your inner life, when the angels pick you up, will you be treasure or trash? Treasure gathered unto Christ to sail with Him in His vessel throughout eternity. Or there will be disgust on the Lord's face. Will the angels cast you to the left? He will have no feelings. He gave you opportunity. He drew you. And now His love demands judgment. I want you to try to imagine this huge net sweeping over the earth down through the ages. See it pick up men of all generations, of all nations. Picture men and women of every skin color inside this net. See the net having in it both kings and servants, both company presidents and janitors. See it getting fuller and fuller, and now it is filled with multitudes of people. And now look close. Can you see your face? Can you see yourself? Is it an expression of joy on your face, or is it an expression of horror? If you're not light, if Christ's light is not in you, you can still be treasure now. You can be treasure. Grace and mercy are still here now. Here, God values the most depraved individual because His grace still has hope for him. But on the shore, mercy and grace flow away, much like water of a wave recedes back into an ocean. James 2:13, for he shall have judgment without mercy. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We want to have a hymn of invitation. What number shall we say?